It's good to see you.
Hi, Joe.
We've got some people that's been sick, it's back. We got some visitors, not been in here for a while. And glad to see all of you this morning. It's fog. I don't know how it was at your house, but it's pretty thick at mine. So we just thank the Lord we got the church safe. Let's go right ahead and talk about some announcements. We got some things coming up this week. And at 7:30 p.m. tonight after the service, there will be a cancer meeting over in the chapel. So if you're involved in the cancer ministry, that will be at 7:30 after the evening service. Also on Tuesday, March the 5th, we'll have the Oasis potluck. So if you come to Oasis, I can't get by with what the preacher says. You know, you talk about ages and stuff. If you feel like that you are old enough to come to Oasis, that's a good thing. So they'll be having that potluck on Tuesday morning over in the Family Life Center. Thursday, March the 7th, this begins our ladies' Bible study, and they'll have that at 10 a.m. This Thursday coming up, and then also at 7 p.m. over at the Mission House. So two times there that you can come to that meeting. On Saturday morning, we'll have men's prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, and then at 9:30 is the visitation breakfast and outreach at 9:30 there in the Family Life Center. Then next Sunday, March the 10th, is time change. So don't forget, it comes this week on Saturday, you better set that clock forward. Always set it forward in the spring. Okay, so remember that. And we're going to be blessed to have Henry and Victoria Benick, the Jewish End Time Ministries, here next Sunday. And so I know that if you get to hear them, you'll really appreciate that ministry. He's a wonderful man, does a wonderful job there. Also, on Thursday, March 14th, there's an Oasis trip to the Everlasting Nation Museum. And the bus is going to leave here at 6 o'clock a.m. That's on March the 14th. At 6 o'clock a.m., the bus will leave the church here. Okay, this morning we are going to say again that our hearts go out to the family for Kim Brummett. And we had a celebration of life there Wednesday night, Teetrick Funeral Home. The auditorium there was filled with people that are kin and friends, and just had a real sweet time right there in Teetrick Funeral Home. I know Kim would have really been glad of that. She would have really rejoiced in that. So also James McEwen, his brother passed away, and so let's remember him during this time. And also out in the lobby this morning, we've got a sign up for the newcomers luncheon. And I don't see no newcomers in here. Most of us have been here a little while. But anyway, if you know someone that is a newcomer, you might help remind them that sheet's out there to sign up for that. And this brings us to our sick list. And I'm always hoping that I get those on the list that, you know, I don't want to miss anyone, but we're still praying for Debbie Deacons, Sharon Harmon, Judy Whitson, Leon Anderson, and he was in the early service this morning. We're praying for Harold Baskett's sister and for Judy Martin's sister. And so those folks are battling cancer, and we need to keep them in our prayers. Also, just for general health concerns and things that are going there, we're praying for Francis Lawson, Ron and Wanda Huskins, Carol Hayes, Charlotte Bryant, Pat Shaw, Randy and Pat Scalf, and also Jerry Scalf. Jerry's still trying to get back on his feet, so these folks need to be in our prayers daily, and if I've missed anyone, I apologize for that. Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. So they said in the first service this morning that Pat Bishop, many of y'all know Pat. She was over at Elizabethan in the nursing home over there, so she passed away this morning. So let's remember that family during this time, and that's new news. Thank you, Teresa. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Unspoken? Okay. Miss Lewis's sister, Rita Fields, right? Yeah. We'd prayed for her before, so she's been taken off of her cancer medicine. And let's pray for her during this time that she's don't have adverse reactions and consequences because of that. Okay? Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll let Brother Steve come on and give us what the Lord has for us today. Father, we thank you for this day, God, for your blessings, and Lord, so many things, Lord, that we don't realize what you've done for us. But God, we do realize that you came and you went to that old rugged cross, and Lord, there you gave your life and your blood for our sin. Dear God, the sins of this whole world. And Father, we thank you that you rose the third day after that, Lord, from the grave, and that you ascended to heaven, Lord, that you're there, and you're making intercession, Lord, even as we pray this morning. God, we realize that you're making intercession for us to the God of heaven, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, what you will do, Lord. And Father, we come this morning and we're asking for these families that have bereavement, Lord. We know that Brother Bob is very distressed this morning, I'm sure, because Miss Pat passed away, and that's the just friends for a long, long time, Lord. Be with them, be with James McNewen and all of his family, Lord, with the passing of his brother. And Lord, for Kim Brummett, God, she's such a wonderful friend, and Lord, just a precious lady, and we thank you for all that she did here at Buffalo Ridge. And God, we believe and know that because of her testimony, she's in heaven. Lord, we pray for all these others, Lord, that have cancer, Lord, that are sick. We pray that you'll be with them. Lord, we also ask that you'll bless the services today. Father, just be with our pastor. Lord, be with the services, Lord. I know that there will probably be some people here, Lord, that maybe don't know you. And God, I pray that you'll just be with him and help him now. Bless Brother Steve as he comes, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Danny. Kim will be missed. I can still see her sitting right there. Good friend to a lot of people. But now she's in heaven. She's smiling. She wouldn't want to come back. No way. Anyway, praise the Lord for his promises of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the hope of heaven. That's what the world needs. Looking back at, I'm going to go back and talk a little bit more about Timothy. As we talked about Timothy last week, and Paul was writing letters to him, teaching him how to deal with church issues and people and how to talk and how to act and what to say and how to do later on in Acts. And I went back and started thinking, well, how did Timothy, how did he get trained in the work? So 7 years prior to what we talked about last week is when Paul came into the area where he lived. And the title of the lesson today is Mission Work Today, and as it is in Paul's time. You start looking at what our missionaries do and how they do it and how the mission program works here. When I was in West Virginia in a small church of 150 people, 75 to 150, varied. We had 100 missionaries at the time, and we were supporting them at about $100 each a month. Of course, we were in the middle of the coal fields up there at that time, very active. Everybody was doing very well. And I was talking to a friend of mine that's still there, and they still have right at 75, a lot retired, a lot of them's passed on, and not hard, but it takes some work to find people that are truly going to do what the Bible says and how to do it. In Acts chapter 14 is where we're going to be looking today. We see the example that Paul wrote down and how mission work gets done. And it's the same then as it is now. A successful missionary sets this pattern in motion when he gets on the field. Now, we look back at Paul and what he came through some years before this. We know Christ arrested Paul on the road to Damascus, and he got saved fabulously. And you think, well, why Paul? Saul persecuting the Christians. He was an educated man. He was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee. I mean, the man knew the Jewish religion. And Christ comes to him and knocks him blind for a few days or a week or so and says, "Why are you persecuting me and my people?" And he learns at that point that Christ and what Christ meant and what he did on the cross and all that the Christians had been believing in, that he was arresting and taken back to Rome and arresting and having persecuted right on the spot and stoned and all that went on. And Saul at that time, which is Paul, was directing all that. Well, he got saved and he got changed. You ever see anybody that just really gets saved and their lives just flip-flop? And I think we see people that happens to them. They're living some kind of life that It's just not right. And when they get saved, they really get saved, if you know what I'm saying. It's not a, oh, I got saved, and I'm going to start going to church, and I'm going to start serving. These people get on fire. Paul got on fire. So we see early on, and right after that, he gets baptized. Christ sends him in that Damascus experience, sends him into town, sends him to the Christian's house. He gets in fellowship immediately with people that are Christians, that are saved Jews. And then Paul gets baptized and he starts his ministry. God always knows what to do with an individual. There's individuals that God can get a hold of and change the world with their lives. We've heard about all these people through the years and famous preachers and this and that and the other that comes out of circumstances that really gets a hold of it and steps out in the mission work. I came so close in 1985 to going to Africa. I was really bit by the mission bug. I had been giving. I'd been involved in church and involved as a deacon and taking on missionaries and this and the other, and I had an opportunity to go to Africa for almost 3 weeks. I come back, I was so burdened. I mean, it really got me. I wanted to go, and I prayed. God just didn't allow me to go. Through the help of some missionary friends of mine that were getting ready to go to Australia, and them talking and praying with me, I made a decision at that time not to go, but stay home and use my influence to help other missionaries and do things in the church. And I started teaching, I don't know, I think I've been teaching 41 or 42 years, teaching Sunday school. So God used me in a different way, but I was really bit with that and wanted to go, but God seemed fit not to let me go. God seemed fit to send one of my children to the mission field. How wonderful is that? That's hard, but it's not hard either when you know what they're going to do and where they're going. And Levi is there right now in England, and he said, Dad, this is where God wants me. I'm in the center of God's will. What else do you want for your children? Is for your children to be in the center of God's will. Well, here we see Paul in the center of God's will, and we can look there in verse, let me get my glasses on here, see what time's done to me, rip my eyes. And if we look here in verse 14 and just read it a little bit there in verse 6, we can go back to verse 7. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. So we see some people here, rulers in this particular part of the world, used the Jews and the Gentiles to try to stone Paul and Barnabas on this first missionary trip. This was on the first missionary trip, Paul. Okay, so then what happens? And it says there in verse, and they were warned of it and fled Lystra and Derbe and cities of Laodicea, and into the region lieth around about. Now, they fled unto Lystra and Derbe. Guess who lived in Derbe? Timothy. Last week, so we talked about Timothy. This is where Paul and him coming off this bad situation in this town where they'd been preaching the gospel and went to Derby and started preaching. Most commentaries believe that this is when Timothy got involved, got saved, turned into, they called disciples basically, or Christians of that time, people that were saved, either Jews or Gentiles. Disciples in the Bible means saved ones. So here we find Timothy coming alongside at this time, because they're there preaching. And in verse 7, and there they preached the gospel. So Timothy heard the gospel right at this point. This is 7 years prior to what we talked about last week. Now, he starts traveling with Paul and Barnabas, a group of saved people from these little towns. They get bit and they say, man, I'm saved. I want to be part of what's going on here. So they start going around with Paul. So here we have the next situation over here in verse 19, and there came, this is where Paul gets stones. It says these certain Jews of Antioch and Iconium who persecuted the people, having them stoned, Paul was drew out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, a lot of people think, well, was he dead? What did God raise him back up? It doesn't really say. Some people think that, but I have to use what the Bible says. Howbeit, as the disciples, now who's that? One of them's Timothy, standing around, saw all this happen, knew what was going on, knew the persecution that they were going to get, because it talks about these certain Jews of Antioch and Iconium who persecuted the people that were trying to be, the people were trusting Christ as their Savior. Is mission work easy? I was in the Ukraine 1 year, and the Iron Curtain had failed, Brother Harry and I, and there was people there that had been let out of prison, had been thrown in prison, and been in a horrible conditions for 10 or 15 years because they preached the gospel. Because of the party in control in that country right now, not in the Ukraine, but in Russia, that just don't allow it. It was at a point I couldn't believe the stories that they would take a Bible and they would take a page out, one page, and pass it around through the people in the community and keep it in secret because somebody was always watching, wanting to persecute them for what they were preaching. The freedom of Jesus Christ, the truth frees us. And there's people in this world, Satan does not want us to be free. He doesn't want us to have soul liberty. To trust Christ and what he did on the cross is what these missionaries bring to these areas that has never heard it. Well, you know, that's hard. That was hard for me to believe. I mean, there I was in this and seeing them. They had been tearing out pages in a Bible and secretly passionate through the community and secretly meeting and reading that page of the Bible. We've never experienced anything like that in this great country we have. One time I was on a trip to Carriacou in the Windward Islands, almost in South America, in the Caribbean. And we were there with a bunch of teens doing a Sunday school program for a missionary that we knew out of Beckley, West Virginia, was there and had a church. So we were going to go around and visit pass out little New Testaments and invite kids to a he had gotten a little school, and we were going to have a Sunday school program there. Had a bunch of teenagers. My daughter Katie was there. And I don't know if Wes was there or not. He may have been in school. Levi was too little then. So we got there and started passing out this stuff. And the Catholic Church and the voodoo bunch, craziness, they found out who come, and they went to their house and threatened them if they didn't give the Bible back that they got at the Sunday school program. Opposition, persecution. And that's only been 15, 20, probably 22 years ago when I did that. I mean, and that goes on everywhere today. I was in the airport in Singapore coming home, Brother Harry and I, again on another trip, and we saw this man and his wife, and they'd just come out of the field. They had the local dress on. He had a full beard on, longer hair. She was dressed with a scarf around her head. And we just struck up a conversation and found out they were missionaries. But they were in part of the world that if they didn't dress like and look like, they'd get run off. They were in this community that would persecute them for what they were speaking. Persecution is real today, folks. And we wonder how Timothy started being a preacher in that part of the world. In his little, he went home. He went to his hometown of Derby and started a church. And experienced this persecution. Saw it standing around. There's Paul, assumed that he was dead, stoned, probably bleeding. And Paul wakes up, probably was knocked out with a stone, and they thought he was dead. And then it goes down there into verse, howbeit the disciples stood around about him, rose up. He rose up and came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to, went back to Derbe. So now it says in verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel, they didn't let up. He probably still had scabs on his head where he got hit with a rock. And preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, and they returned again to Lystra, Iconia, and Antioch. So what was the next thing Paul did? So if we look at this first missionary journey, the first thing that happens, Paul got persecuted. Next thing he said, well, I got persecuted, but I'm going to go on for Christ. He preached and taught the word. Not just preached it, but taught these people. You know, the pastor can stand up here and preach and give the word, but somebody, he always offers, said, come up, somebody will be here with you. We'll take you and explain it to you. And teach you what the word is saying. Now remember, Timothy's right there with all this, seeing all this happen. This is how this young man got trained up. He was running with the right crowd. He got to see all of this, Timothy did. It's no wonder that the people getting saved in the situations and the persecution and he saw all this happen. He saw the power of God on Paul, and he wanted to be part of that. So we see Timothy sees this, the preaching and taught. And then it says in verse 22, it says, confirming which means strengthening, and I think this was Hebrew or Greek, I don't remember, but confirming means strengthening, in verse 22 there, the souls of the disciples. So from this, God's word even says right here, because they got to see this, the disciples, the saved bunch of young men, got strengthened from all this, from the persecution, from the teaching, from the people getting saved. They were strengthened. It's no different today in mission work. Young men, old men, it don't make no difference. If you get called to the mission field and you really pray about it and you want to go, God's going to make a way. So they were confirmed and exhorting them to continue in the faith. So some of them must have been saying, I don't know about this. Exhorting, that word there means be of good comfort. So Paul was comforting these young men, Timothy. And that we much through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul just come right out and told them, this ain't no easy thing, guys. If you're going to stand up for God in this old world, there's going to be much tribulation. Is that still true today? Well, of course it is. Talk to some of these young people that are going to high school or going to college. It's the world is a mess out there. And are they welcomed with a Bible in their hand and called names? I mean, it's not easy. I can remember when Levi first went to England, the ministry was just starting over there. Pastor Zinker was there. He's at Temple now. And it was Pastor Sexton's vision to start that. What a blessed man. He'll be missed. And it wasn't easy to get a ministry started. They had some kind of little old house rented. Barely could get the kids in there. And they were having church. And today, in England, in a modern Western country, there's parts of that cities that he can't even go in and hand out tracts for fear of persecution. He wouldn't want to take his kids in there. He wouldn't want to take his wife in there. He don't want to even go in there himself. And you probably know what religion I'm talking about. It's out there. Our missionaries are dealing with that. So that's something we need to really pray about. And here's Timothy being trained by Paul, and he's saying, guys, it's going to be okay. God's on our side. Be of good comfort. But we're going to go through tribulation. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, this is probably when Timothy got ordained. He was on fire. Paul saw it and was ready to turn him loose in his whole town, hometown of Derby. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed, fasting, commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Commended them to the Lord on. It was a ceremony to say, young men, the disciples, Paul and Barnabas were probably laying hands on them, praying with each one of them, and telling them, you need to go where God's leading you. Of course, Timothy felt like he needed to go back to Derby because that was his hometown. A lot of that goes on in India. Dr. Cherian preaches and teaches at that wonderful college he's got there in India. I've been there many times with Brother Harry. It is a oasis in the middle of a country that is not Christian. But the young men and women come from all parts of India and Burma, Thailand. They come there, they get trained, and they go back to their hometown. Same thing happened right here. Same thing's going on today. It's the pattern that God set with Paul. It is amazing how it parallels what we do today. And as deacons and preachers, I was a deacon in West Virginia, I'm a deacon here, and when we look at mission work and we look at missionaries to take on, we have to look at this pattern and say, are they doing this? Is this the calling of God on their lives? Is this what they're doing? And can we support this? And with much prayer and much study and calling and checking on them, calling their home churches and doing all that we do to check out some, it's a lot of work before we present somebody in this pulpit to take them on as a missionary. Because it has to fit this pattern. This pattern hasn't changed. And after they had passed through, Pisidia and Pamphylia, these names get me. And when, I might as well just say wheelbarrow. And when they had preached to the world in Perga, they went down to Antioch. And then, in 26, and thence sailed back to Antioch. Where whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which were fulfilled. And when they had come and gathered the church together, they rehashed all that God had done with them. It was a missionary conference, just like we have missionary conferences today. They had went home and they rehashed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the doors of faith unto the Gentiles. And they abode a long time with the disciples, with the saved ones. Just like we have today. They went home and had a mission briefing. They briefed the elders of the church that sent them out, that sent Paul out and Barnabas out. A missionary conference. Just as like we do today. This pattern that was set some 2,000 years ago is still going on today. And it was done by God. Pastor Lasley just didn't make up this missionary program that this church has. He looked at God's word and seen the pattern and said, I'm going to get in on that. I'm going to start a missionary program here. And it's going to be just like what Paul did and how he did it and how the church did it. Timothy got it because we see two chapters in the Bible written to that young man. He was getting it done, getting it done. And today we get letters back from missionaries that are reporting on what's going on. Oh, it's tough here. We just can't get anything done. I can't get tin for this roof. The prices went up on me. I can't buy enough concrete to finish this footer. It's hard. It's tough on some of our missionaries in parts of the world. So just remember all that. That this pattern, and when we pray and look at new missionaries, folks, it was set up a long time ago by God. How it should be done. And how it should be done is how this church does it, how the Pastor Lashley started here, and how the pastors that we have now are carrying it on. Praise the Lord for that. How many churches you know that's doing this pattern right here and sending out missionaries that are right, that know that God has told them to go to a particular place? Praise the Lord for called missionaries, just like Timothy was called to his hometown. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you for the pattern that you set up in the Bible and how it was then and how it is today. It's exactly what you wanted. And Lord, praise the Lord for Buffalo Ridge Church that runs their mission program just as you wanted it. Lord, we love you. Pray for our pastor today that you give him the word that someone will be saved. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all. Have a good day.